Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. We're starting a new series today called The Blessed Life. And it's based on a study that I've done with a small group a few years ago called The Blessed Life, which is a book by Robert Morris, who's the pastor of Gateway Church. And it's about having a blessed life, unlocking the rewards of generous living. And as a church, that's what God expects from us. So today's message, the first part of this is also taken from his book. It's called God Must Be First. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles today to Exodus 13, chapter 13, or turn in your iPhones if that's what you have. And I want to share a message with you today, and it's not a new concept, but I pray that today is the day that it becomes embedded in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and becomes part of who you are, because God must be first. We say it a lot of times in our life as believers that God is first in my life. But many times it's not reflected in our actions or in the habits in our lives. So say it with me, or say it where you are today. God must be first. So let's look at Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, before you tune me out and say, oh, here we go again, using the Old Testament to talk about our money, let me remind you or share with you that the first time that in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul tells us that everything in the Old Testament is an example to us. So everything that was written for us is for our instruction. So we're not just New Testament Christians. We have the Old Testament to look to as our instruction and our guide to go by as well. We'll bring it up to the New Testament in a few minutes. But first, Exodus 13, 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Now let's look at verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter. It says, "You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord." Notice it says, belong to the Lord. So this is something that's not already ours. It is actually the Lord's. And then the last part of that scripture says, "Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck." In other words, if you don't do this, you're going to lose it anyway. Now remember this principle when we begin relating it to our finances and our money and what belongs to the Lord. If you will not bring this to the Lord, you're going to lose it anyway. And finishing the scripture, it says, "Redeem every firstborn among your sons." Church, we're going to talk about the principle of the first and about giving the first to God and understanding about the first and that it already belongs to Him. It's not about the second or the third or the fourth or even what's left over. It's about the first of what we have belongs to the Lord. So here's point number one. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So what's the difference between sacrifice and redeemed? And how did they know which to do when? The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Here's how you knew which to do. If you had an animal and your animal was considered a clean animal, then you sacrificed the firstborn. If your animal was considered an unclean animal, then you had to sacrifice a clean animal to redeem the unclean animal. Now, you may be wondering or have wondered why God wanted animals to be killed as part of his law with man. But God is using here the sacrifice as a principle, and it's more than a metaphor for the sacrifice that had to happen in our own redemption. Now, listen, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. So this here is an example for us. And so let's understand how this relates to Jesus then. Think about this. If it's unclean, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of the clean. Now, let me say it again. If it is unclean, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of the clean. And if it's clean, it has to be sacrificed. So we were all born into a sinful world, and therefore we were born into sin. We have a sinful nature. And Scripture tells us there is nothing good in us unless we have been redeemed. So by being born into our human condition, we are unclean by nature. Now, was Jesus born clean or unclean? Of course, we would all say Jesus was born without sin. He is clean. He came from heaven. Okay, remember the principle? Here's the aha moment. The clean, Jesus, had to be sacrificed so the unclean, you and me, could be redeemed. Let me say it again. The clean, who is Jesus, had to be sacrificed so the unclean, you and me, could be redeemed. That's what we just read in Exodus 13. That's what that was all about, because everything points to Jesus. He said, if you have an unclean animal, the offspring then has to be redeemed by the sacrifice of the clean. So we as God's children who were born into a sinful world and unclean by nature, God had to send his son Jesus, who is clean, to be sacrificed for us. So who wants to be blessed? Who doesn't want to be blessed? That probably should be the question, because we all want to be blessed. Our God wants to bless his children, but God will not bless or redeem us unless this principle of giving God and making God first and giving God what already belongs to him or bringing to him happens in our life. So we're going to talk today about this principle of giving the first of our finances to God, because God must be first. And it's okay to talk about finances because Jesus talks about finances. And the Bible is the perfect place to learn how to handle our finances. So think about this. Jesus was sacrificed so we could be redeemed. So let me say it another way, because this is referring to giving the first to God. God gave Jesus in hope or in faith that we would give our lives back to him. In other words, God didn't wait to see if we would straighten up and then give Jesus. The Bible says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were unclean, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to straighten up, like so many people say when you're trying to reach out to them and tell them about God, and they say, well, I need to change my habits before I come to Jesus. I need to get better about my life. But that's just the opposite of what Jesus came for. Jesus says, come as you are and let me redeem you. Let me make you clean. So God gives Jesus before anyone really believes in Jesus. He gives Jesus as that sacrifice. So the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So you think about this. If you have a sheep and your sheep has a lamb, you have to give the first one to God. If you have to give the first one to God so that the rest are redeemed. This is the principle all through Scripture. When you give the first portion of your finances to God, the rest is blessed. That's this principle. Number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. And number two, the first fruits must be offered. An emphasis on the must. Exodus 23:19 says, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. And then in Proverbs 3:9-10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So if you do this, then this will happen. If you honor God with your wealth, specifically your fruits, the first fruits of your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. If you do this, he's saying you will never be in need. You will have plenty. Now let's take this back to the firstborn just for a moment and we'll relate it to the first fruits. God said when your animal has a baby, whatever it is, you're to sacrifice the first one. Now think about this. That takes faith. He didn't say, wait until the animal has 10 offspring and then give me the 10th one. He said, give me the first one and the rest will be blessed. This is something about tithing that many people don't get. Yes, it is 10%, whether it's the second, the third, the fourth, or the fifth. But God is smart. He says, give me the first one and the rest will be blessed. It's so relative to everyone, no matter what your financial condition or blessing is. It's 10% of what you have. So whatever your economic status is or your financial ability is, 10% is relative. It levels the playing ground. But church, it's not any 10%. It's the first 10%, not the second, not the third, not the fourth 10%. It's very important for us to understand that. It takes faith to give the first 10% and then pay the bills, or not pay the bills and see if you have enough left over for God. We need to understand something about God. God will always be first. God is first whether we put him first or not. When you think about the attributes of God, this is his preeminence. He is superior. It means he's above all, before all, higher than all, and first of all. God is always first, and this is the principle in it's all through Scripture. So it's the first 10%, and it's faith. It's about having faith and trust in God will fulfill the promises that he made to us. So he says, when you give me, or when you bring me, the first fruits, the firstborn, the first 10%, then the rest will be redeemed, or the rest will be blessed. When they went in to conquer the promised land, here's what God said to them. Give me all of the silver and gold from Jericho. Now, have you ever thought about why God said, give me all of the silver and gold from Jericho? Maybe you didn't even know that he said that, but it's very simple when you understand it in light of the principle of the first. It's because Jericho was the first city that they came to conquer. And here's what God was saying. He says, give me the first, and the rest will be blessed. He didn't say conquer 10 cities, and then give me the one that you want to give me. He said, give me the first one, and the rest are blessed. But as soon as they disobeyed, the second city, Ai, was not blessed. And they had to get that right before they could conquer the rest of the promised land. So this is all through Scripture, and it's not different for us today. We have to get it right to be blessed. We have to get it right with God and follow what he asks us to follow so that the rest of our finances and our life will be blessed. Another example of God's principle of the first, and he must be first, is in the story of Cain and Abel and their offering to God. This is the only way we can understand why God accepted Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's offering. Remember the firstborn you give to God and the first fruits you give to God? Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, in the course of time, these are very important words to remember. Matter of fact, you might just say it out loud. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Notice it never says he brought first offerings or first fruits. He brought an offering in the course of time of the fruit of the soil of the Lord to the Lord. Now, verse 4 and 5 say this, Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And then it says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Okay, you see, there it is. Abel is a rancher, and he gives the firstborn. Cain is a farmer, and he doesn't give first fruits. He just gives an offering when he wants to on his terms. And God says, I can't accept that. I won't accept that. I gave you instruction, and you didn't do what I asked you to do. Church, there are things that God can't do. Did you know that? Let me explain a little bit, because some of us say that. Can God create a rock big enough that he can't move? We ask these kind of questions to try to stump us about God. But God can't do everything. And one of the things God can't do is change his character. He can't. You know why he can't change it? Because he's perfect. There has never been a lesser or better version of God. He has always been perfect, and he has always been the best. He doesn't have to change because he is perfect the way he is and the way he has always been. And God can't think like we think. You see, we think to figure things out. God doesn't think to figure things out because of his omniscience, because he's all-knowing. It's just another one of his attributes. God knows everything. As a matter of fact, he knows everything at the same time. Let me say it another way. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God has never said, you know, it just occurred to me. Never. Because he knows everything at the same time. This is what Scripture tells us. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you think. You see, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So God can't accept an offering that's not first because of his preeminence. He cannot do it, and he will not do it. This is why he didn't accept Cain's offering, but he accepted Abel's offering. So number three, the tithe must be first. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So he says it again, before we read, it belongs to the Lord. And here it says virtually the same thing. It is the Lord's. Again, it says belong to the Lord, or it is the Lord's. The firstborn is the Lord's. The first fruit is the Lord. And now we see that the tithe is the Lord's. You know, some people say, well, tithing is under the law, and I'm not under the law as a Christian. I'm under grace, so that's why I don't tithe. Well, Robert Morris, in his book, The Blessed Life, gives some great insight to this. He says this, first of all, tithing was before the law, way before the law. Jacob tithed about 400 years before the law. Abraham tithed between 400 and 500 years before the law. Before the law, they gave 10%. But if you go all the way back and take this principle, we just went back and told the story of Cain and Abel, the 10% was in that as well. And it's the principle of giving the first to God. So the tithe was not only before the law, it was also after the law. Jesus himself said in Matthew 23:23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Now remember what they were doing? They were tithing. Another way to say it is, this you ought to do without leaving the other undone. So Jesus confirms that the tithe is important. It's just not part of the law. It's part of who we are now. And remember, we talked about that everything that was written before us serves as an example for us. But just a word about the law. Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law when he came, but he came to fulfill the law. And when you read law from the Old Testament, like honor your father and mother, are we not supposed to do that now? How about murder? Under the law, the command says, do not murder. Does that mean it's okay now? Well, no. In fact, Jesus not only came to fulfill the law, but to take it a step further and add grace. Do you know that the righteousness of grace exceeds the righteousness of the law? In other words, Jesus says, not only the law, but take it a step further. Here's what Jesus said. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. Where had they heard this? The law. But I say to you, don't even be angry with your brother. You see, that takes it a step farther than do not murder. The law said I couldn't kill you, but grace says I can't even be mad at you. Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. And where had they heard that? The law. But I say to you, don't even look at a woman to lust. And if you have, you have already committed adultery in your heart. You see, that's farther than the law. It's not just the law. It's taken it a step farther. Robert Morris says this in his book. So when someone says to me, I don't give 10%, Pastor, because I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. He says, praise the Lord, you give more than 10% because grace always gives farther than the law. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but that's the truth of the New Testament. It's like the law is a starting point. The tenth is just a place that God says, bring it back to me, and the blessed will be rest. The rest will be blessed. But then grace takes it the next step. It takes it into a generous giving, a sacrificial giving, an extravagant giving. So church, the tithe needs to go first. And if you go home after you get your paycheck and you say, let me pay the mortgage, let me pay the car payment, let me pay for the groceries, oh, I don't have enough left over for God. Or even if you do, God hears your part and you give it to him last or as an afterthought, then that's not tithing. Even though it's 10%, it's not the first 10%. Because what releases the blessing on our finances is not the amount, but the order in which God asks us to give it. It's the first 10% because it's about trusting God, having faith in God that God will fulfill the promises that he has He has said he will pour out upon us if we follow what he has asked, if we're obedient to the order in which he says to give it. Robert Morris says this in his book. So here's what you say. God, here's the first 10%. You want to know why? Because every time you get paid, you take the test. Did you know that? The test is, whom are you going to honor for your income? And you honor the first person you give it to. You don't give the first portion to the mortgage company, because the mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. Only God does. You don't give the first portion to the electric company, because the electric company cannot bless your finances. Only God does. There was a couple that I was in small group with when I was doing this study, and this became a challenge in their home, like I'm sure it does many. But they had made a commitment to honor God with the first and pay their bills and everything later. But the husband came to the wife and said, you know, if we tithe this month, then we're not going to have enough to pay our bills. And she said to him, which a lot of our wives probably do, is they kind of hold us accountable and says, well, you know, we promised to honor this with God. And if we don't do it, then we're going to keep coming up on this until we get it right. God is going to continue to bring this to our attention until we get it right. And that is true. We need to start getting it right and honoring God with the first, bringing it to him, and then letting him do what he said he would do. Would you rather have 100% of your income and all of it cursed, or 90% of your income and all of it blessed? Listen to this. When Achan kept some of the silver and gold from conquering Jericho in Joshua 6 and 7, Scripture says it was cursed. Why? Because he kept some of the spoils for himself and he hid them. It's consecrated if I give the first 10% or blessed, and it's cursed if I keep it. So it's very simple. If I give or bring the first to God, then I'm blessed. If I don't, then I'm cursed. How many of you want to be blessed? God says you can test him on this. He says, test me, bring the tithe into the storehouse. And by the way, that's not to a university. That's not to a hospital. That's not to a Christian school. That's not even to a television ministry or a parachurch ministry. That's to the local church. Those are not bad things, and you should give to them. But after you give God what belongs to God, or you bring to God what belongs to him first. I know in our family, we choose to support Compassion Children. And we used to have two that we supported, but one aged out. But we still give every month to a Compassion Child, and at Christmas and on their birthday. And we don't give that out of our tithe. We give that over and above our tithe, because our tithe belongs to God, and we should bring it to where he says to bring it. You know, we support kids on mission trips this year. We've set aside money, and we said this we're going to use to help someone go on a mission trip. So we've supported them, but it didn't come out of our tithe. You know, we give to the Red Cross, you know, when we give money for the hurricane victims, but that doesn't come out of our tithe. Or when I pay for my son's retreat with the youth group, I say, okay, well, that'll come out of my tithe to help him go on this retreat. But that's not what it's supposed to be. That's over and above. Because if I give the tithe, God will bless the rest. God will bless the rest. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that God never uses the word give when he's talking about tithing? You know why? Because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. And he uses the word bring. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And so that's the lesson that we need to learn first and foremost. And I pray that you're listening to this with an open heart and an open mind. And you read these words for yourself. But not only that, you make a choice to commit to bringing the first of what you are blessed with in your finances to God, and let him redeem or bless the rest. Now, this coming week, we're going to be talking about multiply, how God wants to take what he has blessed after we have brought to him the first fruits of what our finances are and how he wants to take what is blessed and multiply it. And there are principles that we're going to learn this week. So I hope that you'll come this week or you'll tune in and you'll hear these messages. So thanks for listening. Have a great day.